From the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, KUAR Public Radio brings you Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, the only program on radio today dedicated to the preservation of comparative generational thought, with your host, Phil Marriage. Welcome to the Crossroads of History.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another 2014 edition of Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow here in Little Rock. I'm Phil Marriage, your host. I'm really glad you guys can be with us here. I say that every time, but I really am glad that those of you who are regular listeners to our program have taken the time out of your schedules to listen to this generational discussion that you wouldn't hear anywhere else in the country, actually. If you'd like to listen to the longer versions of our program, they're at KUAR.org. You can click on the Programs button and go all the way to the back to Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, or you can go to yttshow.org. That'll take you to the same place. You can listen to this longer version or many of the several programs we've done in the recent past. Our topic today is childhood. One of the books that was required reading when I went to school anyway, but really was so much fun to read that it really didn't need to be required at all for me anyway, was Huckleberry Finn. Read that book over and over as a little guy. It was an adventure to read it, and it brought life to the children of that time because they were free. And they could, and so could I. We could ride our bikes all over town. We could be lazy on a summer day. And even when we didn't get straight A's, it really wasn't the end of the world. We could have fun playing outside. We knew all the kids in our neighborhood, and we even had fights. Now we have no child left behind and, to some extent, no child left alone to imagine things that is not on TV or in video games. And parents were around, but they were kind of at a safe distance, and they allowed us to learn by our mistakes, and we didn't get trophies for not finishing first in Little League. Childhood has really never been a safe or stable or innocent or unique time, but we all have them, and that's what we want to talk about today. How have they changed? And how have they remained so wonderfully the same? I have three guests with me here in the studio with me today, and actually they're all from the same family. I thought that'd be an interesting way to look at this topic because those of you listening to the program, you all have families. You all have had your childhoods, whether you're old, you're middle, or you're younger. But the family connection to childhood is really an interesting thing. And my older generation guest here in the studio is Joe Fawcett. He's formerly from Pine Bluff. He's 91 years old, a former Air Force World War II veteran, raised four kids, one of whom is with us here today. Well, I'll talk to you about him. He was with the Cotton Belt Railroad for a number of years in their sales area, and he was retired as an account executive back in 1983. He also still plays the alto sax in the North Little Rock Community Band, and he's an excellent wood carver. Joe Fawcett, Sr., glad to have you with me here today.
Thank you.
Am I right about still playing the sax?
That's right.
Okay, good. His son, Dr. John Fawcett, is here speaking from that middle generation. John's been on our program several times over the years. He's an associate professor of psychology here at ULR. He teaches courses in abnormal, organizational psychology, and consumer behavior. He's licensed here in Arkansas to practice clinical and organizational psychology. His organizational clients include the Levi Strauss Company, Coors, and the Arkansas State Police. And actually, he's been with those companies for a long, long time. And his main interest right now is in psychotherapy and assessment for individuals, couples, and families. John Fawcett, glad to have you with me here again.
Thank you for having me.
And then he brought along with him his son, who's Joe Fawcett also. He's 25 years old. Right now he's a manager in training at the Tzatziki's here in Little Rock. And Joe, glad to have you here from that younger perspective.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really interested in hearing about Joe Sr. here. Joe Fawcett, take us back to when you were your earliest memories of what childhood was like. Did you have a lot of neighborhood kids around you, or
we had children all around us? It was a family neighborhood, and we were right there close to the high school, and I had a lot of friends, and we had a lot of fun.
Okay, you didn't have TV then?
No.
Did you have radio?
Just barely. It just started. 21. It started. So when I was listening to it, it was probably early 30, so it hadn't been around too long. I listened to all types of mystery stories and Flash Gordons and that sort of thing. I was about 9 or 10 years old, I guess.
Oh, what'd you do before radio?
Well, I remember one thing. I couldn't have been over 3 or 4 years old, and we went to Hot Springs. They had a studio behind the Arlington Hotel, and they would take your picture. And I remember them putting me on a pony. And they took the picture of me on that pony, and that's one of the things I remember from the old days. And then in 1932, of course, I'd come along. I was getting pretty old then, or 34, I guess it was. We went to the Chicago World's Fair.
Oh, really?
And that was really special. You didn't go anywhere in those days. People didn't fly. They didn't go very far in an automobile.
Well, when did you start going to the movies?
Oh, I started going to the movies when I was 10, 11 years old. That was the big thing, was the movies. We'd go to the movie on Saturday, and the movies then were 10 cents. I'd go to Cressy's, which is there on Main Street in Pine Bluff, and get a bag of candy, and I'd go down and pay my 10 cents, and I'd stay in the movie all afternoon. They had two movies and a cereal and a cartoon, and you'd stay there all afternoon.
Now, these were talkies.
They hadn't been around too long. Talkies came in, I think, in sometime in the early 20s, I believe it was. I remember back when I was a kid, that one of the big things was yo-yos, which you don't hear of anymore. But the Duncan Yo-Yo people would come in once a year, and they'd have a contest. And I would always enter this contest, but I wasn't, I was just fair. I wasn't really good.
What did you have for toys?
I say the yo-yos. We had marbles. We had tops. And in the spring, we'd get kites. We'd fly our kites. And you could buy a kite for, the best kites, for maybe 25 cents. But sometime we'd make our own. We'd take a newspaper and cut it up. Just get some wood, some limb off a tree, some small limb, and make us a kite. And we'd use flour and water for our glue. We could put them almost out of sight. We'd get a lot of string. But there were a lot of things going on back in those days. You always had something to do.
Was there something like radio programs on it that you listened to?
Yeah, when I was a child, there was a lot of radio programs. I was talking about Flash Gordon. I don't think he's around then. I think it was probably Armstrong, and I can't remember some of them. There were so many of them then. But Lone Ranger came along, and they're all on radio, and they'd have the sound effects, and it was really interesting. I really miss that. That was good.
What was school like then for children?
You could walk to school, and you didn't have to worry about things you worry about now, the traffic and everything. It was only about four blocks away, and of course, I guess when I was in the first grade, somebody would take me. But after that, I'd walk down there, and we went. It was an old building. They didn't have any cafeteria or anything like that, and I remember one of the highlights was one time it was pouring down rain, and my mother, I think she gave me 15 cents, and she told me, said, "Now it's raining. You go upstairs in the attic and get your hamburger." And I thought that's the greatest thing I'd ever heard of. I went up and got my hamburger and a Coke, and that was a big deal. It was in the attic of the school.
Oh, in the
top floor. There's more penmanship and the basics and numbers. And I remember my mother had some cards, and she'd flash these cards, and that's the way you learn at home. We'd do that every day. And you got to be a pretty good speller. And she'd show you the word and maybe say the word, and then you'd spell the word. I was a pretty good speller when I was in grade school.
What was your favorite part about your childhood?
I don't know. I just think we were really happy. And I got to do a lot of things. We had something going all the time. You had different things as far as entertainment. We were busy all the time. We'd go from football to basketball to baseball to kites to yo-yos, tops, just everything. Hop, skip, and jump was another thing that they used at the school.
And marbles.
And marbles.
Let's move up to your son, John Fawcett, also. John, how does his childhood compare with what you remember?
By the time I, was a child there, some things had changed, but some that were similar. We were still able to run around the neighborhood quite a bit. There were a lot of kids growing up in my neighborhood when I was a kid, and we'd play kickball was a big thing, and army dodgeball and kick the can and some of these outdoors thing. We played outdoors a lot when I was a kid. And I remember one difference was that we you know, didn't wear shoes in the summer, you know, ran around barefoot most of the time and walked to school in the early years. At that point in the fifth grade, things changed there in Pine Bluff because they started really taking school integration seriously. And so people started going, you know, being bused to different schools. And so we went across town. It was in terms of a different time, feeling safe and whatnot. One thing I was remembering, my mom would go into the grocery store, and this was very typical things. She'd say, y'all stay in the car, especially me, I was always breaking things. And so she'd say, John, stay in the car. So we'd be sitting in the car, and there you didn't think anything about it. You'd be sitting in the car and wait for your, you know, parents to come out. And today, you know, people think, little kids are sitting in the car. You can't do that. I remember one really hot day, we were all sitting, my three siblings and I were sitting in the car outside the grocery store, the neighborhood grocery store. And this man came by and saw how we were all hot. It was in the summer. And he went over and bought us ice cream cones and brought them back. And my mom came back out of the store, and we were all sitting there licking ice cream cones. And I was thinking today, you know, somebody, mom comes out and sees that, would have had the stomachs pumped at the, the children. You know? I mean, in terms of toys, you mentioned the one that came to mind, the big thing when I was a little kid was the first G.I. Joe. When it originally came out, my aunt came to visit, brought us G.I. Joe, my brother and I, and we thought that was the biggest thing.
Uh-huh. You grew up probably with television all
yes.
the time?
Yes, uh-huh. In fact, I was born in 1958, and so they, you know, had television for a while. The earliest show I can barely remember, Howdy Doody maybe, and Lassie were the mm-hmm. earliest things. But throughout our childhood, we spent a lot of time watching television, you know, through the 60s, Batman. And
you know, what'd you do in the summertime when school was out? Did you have neighborhood friends that you did things with?
Yes, we had a lot of kids growing up in our neighborhood during those years. It was kind of a young family community there, so there are a whole bunch of kids our age, and so we lived in the end of a circle, and so we'd have big kickball games there in that circle, or baseball games, or you say we play kick the can, which, you know, kind of a chase game where
Did you play it after dark?
Yeah, when it got dark enough where it was time for dinner, my mom would come out and yell. You could hear it all the way down the street. You know, Jim, John, Judy, Jane, come in. And so we'd come, but we'd pretty much in the summer be gone almost all day, you know. And I think that is when my son Joe can speak to this, but one thing I think that may be kind of missing from the younger generation is that ability to have had that freedom as a child. It seemed like so much was more structured is today for kids.
Good. You were talking about the old days and whether they're about the movies and so forth. Back during the Depression, people nowadays don't realize how bad that Depression was. And I remember that they had what they call a bean supper at the YMCA, and you'd go up there and they had silent movies, Ren 10-10 and those type of things, all silent. And they had a watered-down cocoa and hot dogs and beans. Every week would be the same thing. If you had a nickel or a dime, and if you didn't have the nickel, they'd still take in. That's the way it was in the Depression, everybody helping everybody else. And we'd go there on Friday night, and that's the entertainment. Oh, I'd say I was maybe 12 years old.
Did you know it was that bad then?
Yeah, I did. It was. I can remember that. Now, for example, you were talking about the movie theater. I can remember that Sanger Theater there would have what they call bank night during the week, and you'd sign up, and you'd get a number. Grown people, I'm talking about, they'd get a number, and they'd go to the movie on bank night, and they'd start out with $25, and if nobody wanted to go to $50 and on up. Well, the time it got to $200 or something like that, they'd have the Sanger Theater, which was a huge theater for that time, and they would fill that thing, and then the people would be lined up for a block or two outside trying to get that $200. They would come in, and they'd ask if, you know, they'd call out the number, and if nobody won, then they'd raise it to $25. That's how...
Really?
People,
I have never heard of that.
They just didn't have any money.
Well, we've been talking about the older and the middle, and I want to bring young Joe, into this. Joe, you must be amazed at what you hear them talk about compared to what your childhood and probably the childhood of your peers and my kids was like. What about your childhood? Tell us how it compares to what they've talked about.
Oh, well, vastly different. No one that I know walked to school. I mean, that's just unheard of. Carpool lines, and you know, that's what I'm used to is, you know, angry parents honking on the horn, and you know, but you know, and the whole, you know, fleet of teachers surrounding them. You know, there's, I don't know. So walking to school was out of the question. As to like roaming the neighborhood and stuff like that, being gone all day, that was also, that would not have flown with any of my friends that I know. I mean, you know, there was some freedoms, but you know, you get out and play, but everybody kept a pretty close watch.
Well, now, you obviously were always with television.
Oh, yeah.
How about radio? Or did you pay attention to radio as a kid?
I mean, you know, I, with my dad and mom in the car, you know, and that's how a lot of the music that I like is from, you know, listening to, like, classic rock stations and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. So.
But, you know, it wasn't a big part. Television was much more influential, certainly.
What do you remember about school?
I actually enjoyed my schooling experience. All the classes were small, and it was a tight group. I, you know, went to the school with the same people kindergarten through senior year, so we all got really close. I think just from talking to, like, my dad and stuff, I think that academically the demands were a little bit greater on us in terms of, you know, you didn't have a whole lot of free time during the week. You know, you came home, you got directly on the homework, and then, you know, you went to bed. And if you played sports like I did, you know, you'd go to practice, and then you'd work, and there's hardly any time for anything else. So I guess homework wasn't so much an issue when I was younger.
Let me take the discussion in another area. Let me come back to you, Joe Sr., and ask you about when you were a child, how did you view the world?
Well, I guess I viewed it through the mother and dad. And, of course, we were watching the things that were happening overseas. And I wasn't too old when they began to have trouble. You know, Hitler was moving, and even before that, Italy was into Ethiopia, and there was something going on all the time in the world. And I think that's the biggest thing I remember. And then, of course, when the war broke out, well, that changed everything.
Okay, now, leading up to the war, you were how old?
Let's see, when I went into service, I was 19. But then I was, I remember, 39, I was, 16.
Okay. And so,
and I remember that's when they went into Poland. I remember that just like it was yesterday.
Do you remember that from radio?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Radio, okay. And the newspaper.
Okay. Well, as a young boy, a young person coming up into that, how did you feel about seeing that ahead of you?
I think it was a little scary. I remember the day that it happened, I was listening to the radio when my dad was in the car, and they said Pearl Harbor, and I had to think, now, Pearl Harbor, where's Pearl Harbor? You know, and then we realized it was Hawaii. It was scary. You know, what's going to happen? And then there was so much damage to, you know, it was bad.
Then you, at 19, you volunteered, or you went to the Air Force?
No, I went in. I was called in January of 43.
And some of your friends, I'm assuming, the same way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of us went in January of 43.
In your area?
In Pine Bluff.
You knew most of them? You
mm-hmm.
just kind of went?
Most of them from that close by.
Like a group almost?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's move up to John. As a child, how did your generation around you view the world?
You know, one thing that I think is kind of different than what my dad experienced and what my son experienced, the one thing I think that the baby boom generation had that was a little different, it was like about the only generation where you were told over and over again that you could wake up that morning and the entire world could be destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, that nuclear threat was hanging over, you know, the country for, you know, 20 years or so until the Soviet Union fell apart. And so that was it. It was just that there weren't any cataclysmic events like World War II. There was Vietnam, but, you know, but you still had that idea that everything could be destroyed. Growing up with television, my childhood, it was like every night when the news was on, you'd see, you know, visually stuff going on with Vietnam. You'd see, you know, all the, you know, war footage and atrocities and things like that. It was like every night.
The body bags.
Body bags. And so that was going on. I remember the first thing I can remember, though it didn't really sink home about that it was a major world event, was the Kennedy assassination. And I remember it happening. I was eating dinner when I heard about it, but I didn't really know who he was. I I thought he was like a newsman or something, because when I'd see him, he's sitting behind a desk on TV.
Well, you were young. You were a child.
Really small. I would have had to have been 3-4 years old, maybe. So I was pretty young. But, yeah, so I didn't really – I knew something serious had happened, and I had this idea of the president. I didn't really – that started it. But what I really do remember was all the things that happened in, like, 1968. Mm-hmm. I was about in the fourth grade then. And you know, you had all the problems of the Tet Offensive blowing up in Vietnam, and you had, you know, Robert Kennedy assassination, and you had Martin Luther King's assassination. That was a big event there, you know, the tragedy, and that in Pine Bluff, that was a huge deal.
Joe, in the younger generation, have you had time to look back and see what your generation's view of the world has been as a young person?
Well, I think with my generation, you know, we're kind of oversaturated with news and information just because of with the internet and cable news, and like there's so much information out there, you kind of get desensitized to problems, international problems, and stuff on the home front as well. It's just kind of an overload of constant information. So it's kind of, I don't know, the view of the world, you know, I think it's drastically different than 9/11, obviously, was a big deal. That was, you know, a scary time. I guess I was in seventh or eighth grade when that happened. That was a big deal, and, you know, people were scared about that, but it wasn't like an impending doom of, you know, nuclear threat or anything. I guess, you know, you had, like, the anthrax scare and stuff like that, but it wasn't.
One of the things, Phil, it just occurred to me compared to the two of these others here is that I was a kid at a time where the economy was pretty strong. Whereas my dad, of course, grew up in the Depression, and Joe, it was a period of time, part of his childhood anyway, was kind of a recession, you know, period. So that was.
I remember when I was a teenager, 16 years old, maybe 15, 16 year old, and my dad decided that I needed a job. You know, the summer deal, you're not supposed to just sit around the summer. So he talked to a man into giving me a job at the grocery store. I worked from 7 to 7, 6 days a week, and on Saturday we worked, 5 days a week, and then on Saturday I worked till we got through, which is 9 or 10 o'clock. 50 cents a day.
A day?
A day, and you paid for what you broke, and I delivered groceries, and I never did forgive my dad because I missed out on the band, Pine Bluff Band, went to the West Coast for a tour. And I didn't get to go because I was working at the grocery store.
Well, you were making 50 cents a day.
I never did forgive him. And then I went to work with Western Union. I'd deliver telegrams. I'd sing telegrams. And
really?
I'd sing to them, you know, happy birthday and all that kind of stuff. And that was pretty good.
How old were you then?
I was about 15, 16, about along that same
line. And you made more money?
17, maybe.
Did you make
more
money?
Yeah, I made more money.
Oh, what?
I'd work at night, whenever, you know, and after school, work on the weekends,
yeah,
whenever they needed me.
Well, John, what was your first job and when did you get paid?
For somebody as lazy as I am, I started working kind of young. I actually worked in a florist for one summer for a few weeks. I didn't get paid much at all, maybe $1 an hour. But my first real job, I was probably in the 10th grade, about 16, I went to work for Rich's Hamburgers, flipping burgers and a little hamburger joint. I worked there while I was in high school. You know, for him, it was the big, I was like, got $1.65 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Better.
Well, Joe, okay, you can't get out of this. So, well, you remember that first job? And
But I was actually fortunate. I didn't have to get a job, actually, until after I got out of high school. So my first job, I didn't have till right after I got out of high school. It was at a burger joint. It's a place called Arkansas Burger Company.
Because you're a young group, did most of your guys kind of get through high school before they had to work?
The majority of them, yeah. You know, there was a couple that worked during the summer and stuff, but only a few of my friends worked during, like, the school year. I mean, most, if they had a job, it was during the summer, and hardly anybody worked through
the school year. How about you, John? Was that the same year?
There was probably about half and half, I guess. There were quite a few of us.
Well, Joe, did you have to get a job?
Oh, I don't say I had to, but it was strongly recommended. You just did that. A lot of boys worked.
You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask all of you, also you, those of you listening, the basic question is, how would you describe your generation? Was it sad? Was it happy? Was it scared? What would you say about yours, Joe?
I'd say that mine was a combination. It was really, I think the family was real close, and but then along came the Depression, and that was bad, you know, people were suffering, and then the war and everything after that. And I think it's a combination, but I'd say overall it was, I'd like to do it again.
Your childhood was a happy generation.
It was really happy. I enjoyed it.
What about you, John?
Yeah, within our family and our neighborhood, it was a good childhood. In terms of the generation as a whole, it was kind of unusual. I was kind of late baby boomer, kind of really grew up, you know, I was a little kid in the 60s, grew up in the 70s. And as a little kid, it was interesting seeing the adults versus the older teenagers. And the older teenagers going through that 60s period, late 60s, they seemed to be a pretty angry bunch. So there was this strife. You heard all this stuff about the generation gap. And you know, you'd see the parents driving by going, well, look at those hippies out there in the yard. So there seemed to be, you know, quite a bit of strife going on in that. By the time we got into high school, I don't know, we didn't seem to care as much about all that stuff. I guess maybe didn't have as much of the idealism as the group that came right before us, but or maybe just burned out from all the strife. And so, but I'd say it was relatively happy.
So happy, relatively happy. Joe, what about as you see your look at your childhood?
Well, overall, I mean, it was pretty happy. Got along with my parents, everything. They got a divorce, which was, you know, a little bit, that was unfortunate, but so, you know, that was upsetting. That was like happened when I was in sixth grade, so that's kind of a transitional period.
Did you see a lot of your friends going through the same thing?
Yeah, I've got quite a few friends that its parents have been through a divorce, which I think is another thing that's different generational. You know, like back in the day, just people didn't get divorced, and now, you know, I think it's something over 60% of marriages end in divorce.
Well, how do you think that affected your childhood? And the group of your group, I'm talking not just necessarily you, but as a group, how did having divorces happen affect childhood for your group?
Well, you know, it's interesting having to split time between two different parents. You know, it kind of messes with the structure of things. And you love both your parents, but they're different people. So you go from staying at one house where things are a certain way, and then you go to another house where things are a different way, and the rules are, you know, a little bit different. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting. Overall, it was a good childhood.
Well, John, did you see divorce as a factor from your peer group as a child?
It was kind of the exception rather than the rule. Most families pretty much stayed together. We did see some on our street, and it was a big deal.
Well, Joe Sr., did you see as a child much divorce at all from any around?
Hardly any at all. Very little. Things have really changed in a lot of ways.
Folks, we've been talking about our childhood here today on Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. I hope as you've been listening and when you go home with your family today, you think about the childhood you've had, your parents have had, your children are having, and to compare how it has changed and how it hasn't changed over the years. I do want to thank my guests for being with me here today, all three from the same family, the Joe Fawcett, John Fawcett, and again, Joe Fawcett in the younger generation. Joe Fawcett was back in World War II. He's 91 years old. Joe, glad you were here with us here today.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
And then, of course, John Fawcett, who's been on the program a number of times. He's here at UALR. Right now, his major interest is in psychotherapy and assessment for individuals, couples, and families. John, thanks again for being with me here today.
Thanks for having me again, Bill.
And then his son, Joe, is also with us here today from that younger generation. And Joe's 25 years old. Right now, he's a manager, a trainee there at Tazika's here in Little Rock. I hope you've enjoyed listening to our program here today. You can catch the longer version of it at our website at kuar.org. Just click on the programs button. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow is a production of KUAR Public Radio, Little Rock.